This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Well, when we're looking for insight, we go to the guy who joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline from Pro Football Talk. He is Mr. Mike Florio. Mike, good to have you with us.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. We are well. What are you hearing rumblings? Anything cooking with the Browns at 2? There was some talk. They're certainly fielding phone calls. That's their job. Are any of those phone calls anything more than, hey, how you doing?
Well, Andrew Berry made it clear last week that they are willing to talk, that all options are on the table, that they hadn't committed to using the second overall pick. And I've said for weeks now that it's in the Browns' best interest to consider the possibility of turning that one big lottery ticket that they have at number two into multiple lottery tickets, because that becomes multiple players who are under very affordable rookie contracts that will help counterbalance the cap numbers that they're dealing with Deshaun Watson and, in time, Myles Garrett. They had the opportunity to not trade for Deshaun Watson and keep 3 first-round draft picks plus. They had the opportunity to trade Myles Garrett and get multiple picks in return, and they didn't. Now is the chance, if they decide it's the right move to make, to move out of number two. And ask. Here's what you have to ask yourself. Is the guy that we take at number two going to make us dramatically better? And if you think the answer is no, and you look at the haul that you could get, and you have confidence you could parlay those picks into players who collectively will make you dramatically better, then it's worth considering. So I think it makes sense to listen, and it's never done until the pick is on the clock and you put in the card with the name on it. So it's one of the mysteries at the top of the draft. And it's good because there is no mystery at number one. The mystery and the draft begins at number two with what are the Browns going to do? Will they use the pick? Will they trade the pick? And to a certain extent, the Giants are in the same boat at 3 because both teams have multiple needs and they would benefit from a swap that would give them the opportunity to add a bunch of players. But there has to be enough on the table, or you do a bad deal and you end up taking less than you should have taken.
What do you think the haul is back on that number two pick? And do you buy into the whole trade value chart thing?
I don't. First of all, it's outdated because once they change the way that rookies get paid, I think that adjusts the way that you look at it. And here's the bottom line. If someone's trading up to number two, they're not trading up so they can brag to family and friends that they hold the number two pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. They're moving up there for a player. You're trading for a player. So what is that player worth? If the guys at 2 and 3, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, are head and shoulders above the rest of the guys in round one, then that's reflected in what you give up to get him. So the old Jimmy Johnson trade chart developed years ago, look, it's an objective indicator for something that I think ultimately is inherently subjective. And it all comes down to, what do you think that player is worth? That's why a lot of times you'll see teams that really aren't interested in a quarterback but that have a high pick, they'll do the full workup on all the quarterbacks so they can have an intelligent conversation and debate about what that pick is worth if there's a trade opportunity, because it's not for the pick, it's for the player. So what do the Browns think of Travis Hunter? How do they value Travis Hunter? If someone wants to come get Travis Hunter, the Browns have to be able to know with confidence and to argue persuasively, hey, this isn't any other number two pick. This is a guy who's going to play both ways if you embrace that. And so, you know, forget the trade value chart. We want more because you're getting a generational guy here, and so we want a bigger haul. And, of course, the more strongly they feel about it, the more likely they are to just keep the pick and take Travis Hunter.
Yeah, so basically, I just think it's funny because Jeff and I talked about this yesterday. It's like before the draft, it's all about, oh, it's number two, it's number two, it's number two. Then once you've added a name to it, it's totally changed. So I teams think that way. Like teams are like, hey, okay, what are we trading? We're trading Travis Hunter. We're trading Abdul Carter. They don't look at it as we're trading number two, or do they look at it as we're trading that name? Because I think fans have a hard time understanding that.
I think you look at it from the perspective of what benefits you. That's the problem. This is all a protracted game of chess. So the team that's trading up wants to give less. So they're going to say, well, we need to go by the trade value chart because at some level they recognize this guy is more special than the ordinary number two pick, which is one of the reasons why they're trying to trade up to get him. So it all comes down to, and this is the broader ecosystem of the NFL where, yes, everyone is associated with a given team, but at the same time, it's one industry with minimal branches of the tree, and the relationships with others around the league, you could argue, are more important than your current team affiliation because at some point you're going to be looking for another job, and you need to have friends and colleagues and people who trust you. So you can undermine that trust if the end result of a trade is one team gets screwed and the other team does too good of a deal. Every trade needs to ultimately be a win-win. So I think that from the Browns' perspective, it's in their best interest to say, you're coming up to get a player. From the team that's trading up, their perspective, they try to make it as cold and calculated and as objective as possible.
Mike Florio joining us from Pro Football Talk. Mike, I agree with you completely on that. Andy and I have talked about, okay, if you can't get Cam Ward, if you're the Browns, could you be happy with Travis Hunter? Could you be, you know, happy with Mason Graham, perhaps? Certainly Abdul Carter. If you're a team trying to trade up to number two, do you think there's one guy in particular that teams would want to trade up to get? Or is it because to me, if there's not, then that kind of limits your trade market, doesn't it? Because if the Browns would be happy with any of a number of guys at two, I would think that might not be a pick that is as coveted as maybe we think it might be.
Well, every team is different, though, and every team has its own evaluation, and every team comes to its own conclusion about which guy that it believes it wants. And the wild card in all of this is ownership. That's one of the things that's fascinating about the draft. You can spend months, and they do, evaluating players, looking at tape, investigating their background, traveling to pro day workouts, private workouts, go to the combine, talk to them there, go to the Senior Bowl, talk to them there. Hours and hours and hours of study and analysis and an effort to turn a human being into an objective answer to a very specific formula. Then in comes the owner who heard this about this guy or that about that guy and kind of likes this guy. And, you know, I went to dinner with that guy and I liked how he treated the person who brought us our food. And the owner always is the person who can turn everything on its head. That's why, you know, I was told recently, and I don't know if you guys saw this, that as it relates to Shedeur Sanders, somebody that I know and trust thinks there's a chance that a team is going to trade up to get him at number two, which is just odd. He's the biggest wild card in this draft. If he gets past three, he could plummet to 21. If he gets past 21 to the Steelers, he could fall all the way out of the round. The reason, one reason, potential reason, that an owner would get involved and move the needle toward a trade up to get Shedeur Sanders as high as number two, maybe that owner thinks, I'll be able to hire Deion to be my head coach at some point down the line. And that's a card that the owner is going to keep close to the vest. You don't walk into the meeting room with your head coach sitting there and say, I'd really like to move up to number two because I'd like to hire his dad. And his dad has said on our show that he'd only ever coach in the NFL if he was coaching his son. So we're getting a package deal here. That number two overall pick isn't just Shedeur, it's Deion. If there's an owner that feels that way, that would explain why the owner would be inclined to move all the way up to number two. So the owner, that's the thing that can change everything. As you guys found out in 2014, when Jimmy Haslam got involved, and I know he tried to blame it on the homeless guy as he was walking in, and they said, take Manziel. The owner wanted Manziel. In Dallas that year, the owner wanted Manziel, and Jason Garrett, Stephen Jones, and others with the team did a very adept job of nudging Jones away from Manziel and towards Zach Martin, and that worked out pretty well.
If only that homeless guy had better judgment. Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, so let me straight out. If the Browns take the pick at two, who are they taking? Who do you think?
I think it'll probably be Travis Hunter. I think that's what the Giants believe at number three. When Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, was asked about Hunter playing both ways last week, I could just tell by the way he responded, he hasn't given much thought to it. Why would you not give much thought to it? Because you think he's going to be gone by the time the third pick is on the clock. And Andrew Berry was one of the first ones who pegged Hunter as primarily a receiver. And some believe that he's a better receiver than he is a corner. And look, I love the idea of a guy who comes to the NFL with a desire to play old school football, playing for an old school franchise, outdoors in the elements, at least until they get their new stadium, on grass. I'm fascinated by this possibility that Travis Hunter can do what we haven't seen anyone do in the modern era of football, play a full load offense and defense. And I hope whoever drafts him is willing to let him try. He's got to come to the conclusion on his own he can't do it. If you try to tell him you're not going to let him do it, that's not the way to have the right relationship with the guy. He needs to come to the conclusion on his own. There's not enough hours in the day to properly be prepared to play NFL receiver and NFL cornerback. Maybe he can do it. Maybe he's the one out of 100 million who can pull it off. And if I'm using that pick at number two, I think that's the guy that has enough of an upside, not just from wins and losses, but this is an entertainment business. And some fans don't like to hear that it's a business, but it's a business. And it's about getting people to show up, to be excited, to watch the games, to have their team talked about. Jerry Jones has cracked this code. He's kept his team among the most prominent in all of football, despite not playing in a conference championship game in 30 years, because he understands what people are interested in. And if Travis Hunter is a good player, maybe a great player, but also a great way to make the Browns relevant, that all comes together, and it makes it, to me, a no-brainer pick.
Mike Florio joining us from Pro Football Talk. Mike, the Browns quarterback situation right now is Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, not necessarily in that order, maybe in that order, who knows. We're all assuming that they take a quarterback here and try to develop this guy and see if he is something. Do you think that will happen, and how soon will that happen? Do they trade back into the first round? Do they wait and take who's ever sitting there at 33? How do they handle that?
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on how many quarterbacks get taken in the first 21 picks. And does Shedeur Sanders somehow slip by the Steelers at number 21? I remember in 2014, I was told Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, wanted Derek Carr with the fifth overall pick. And they talked him into waiting. And they got Khalil Mack there, which worked pretty well until they ultimately traded him to Chicago. But they got Derek Carr in round two. So sometimes patience pays off. And I think a lot of it depends upon how many quarterbacks get picked before we get into the 20s, and there's a window there for the Browns to swoop back in before the Giants or someone else that needs a quarterback can bump up a few spots. And the benefit of getting a quarterback in round one, you get him on a 5-year contract, not a 4-year contract. So you get extra time before you're in that spot where you've got to write him a big check to extend his stay if it's working out. So I think it's possible. And also it's possible that they don't add somebody who would be immediately in that mix to start, and they give the Falcons a call, reunite Kevin Stefanski, who was on the Minnesota staff for a couple of years while Kirk Cousins was a Viking, and see if they can work out some sort of a deal to get him to come to Cleveland. Now, he'd have to waive his no-trade clause. He'd have to have some sort of understanding that he'd be number one on the depth chart with Flacco and Pickett competing to be the backup. But that's a possibility as well. And there aren't many spots out there that I see for Cousins. A A lot of it is going to be more clear after the draft. But if the Browns don't take a quarterback at all, I think they become a team that you have to consider as a potential destination for Kirk Cousins.
You have
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Guys sitting there, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, Milroe with Tommy Reese as the offensive coordinator here. If the Browns are looking at any of these other quarterbacks, do you think it's one of those three guys, or do they wait even longer and go Dylan Gabriel, maybe Will Howard, something like that?
Yeah, look, this is the problem with the draft. You have every position all thrown into the same bucket. What do you do? What do you value? And teams will say, we want the best available player. How are needs not part of the analysis of the best available player? We try to take an inherently subjective reality. What kind of a football player is this guy going to be at the next level, and turn it into the result of a mathematical equation? I don't think that's possible. And I think need is always going to influence. And that's why they have Paul DePodesta, Chief Strategy Officer. What's our strategy here? Are we going to try to make a play for a quarterback early round two? Are we better off waiting and getting a guy that we see how he develops and maybe he becomes our long-term answer? The best place, the most reliable place to get a potential franchise quarterback is in round one. But there's a bust rate to take into account. Can the guy step up and play at a high level at the next level? Are you better off with someone who can develop quietly without a lot of fanfare, who can become in time the starting quarterback? There's just a lot of factors that go into it. And against that group of factors regarding what you do at quarterback is all the other positions on a team where you need to have viable, high-performing players. So it is a massive undertaking for 32 teams. I laugh at how people in the media try to make their own draft board. You can't even begin to harness the resources necessary to have a reliable draft board or understand the pressure that is inherent to making these decisions and splitting hairs that are not easily split, because they're all different shapes and sizes and everything you can imagine in one bucket of players that you're picking guys out of. It gives me anxiety just to think about the stakes as it relates to a given team in any given draft trying to figure out what's the right move every time they're on the clock.
Mike, in 3 years, when we come back and look at this class, maybe even a little bit more, are we going to say this was a bad quarterback class the way everyone has going into it?
Well, I trust Chris Sims a lot because I think he's become a very good and underrated quarterback evaluator. Mm-hmm. He sees Cam Ward as a guy who would be number three last year behind Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. And then I think after that, none of the guys would have cracked the top six. See, here's the problem. And this is where owners can screw things up, because it's a copycat league, and everybody else got their quarterback last year. I want my quarterback this year. Right, but last year, I mean, there may be, by the time this is all said and done, they may go 6-for-6 with quarterbacks who pan out. J.J. McCarthy is the last one to declare one way or the other. So far, it looks like of the five who played last year, they're all going to be pretty good. This year could be the correction. Look at 2022. There was one guy taken in round one, Kenny Pickett, and he shouldn't have been. Malik Willis is the guy that, hey, you know what? Pretty good backup now in Green Bay. He can come in and win football games for you. Matt Corral, he's in the UFL. And the last guy drafted that year, the last guy of all players drafted, was Brock Purdy. It just illustrates that no matter how much time and effort you put into it, it's a crapshoot. Somebody told me years ago there's a ceiling for every player between what he achieved at the college level and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And no one knows where that ceiling is. And the only way to find out where it is to throw that guy onto an NFL field against NFL caliber competition and see whether he steps up or whether he steps off.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, also the author of Father of Mine, Son of Mine, On Our Way Home. Opportunity right now, Mike, to get those books at a great price.
99-cent ebooks on Amazon, and I might. Today is the 2-year anniversary of the release of Father of Mine. I am thinking about, for the first 2 days of the draft, making the ebook free. I mean, you only save 99 cents, but people love free stuff. No matter what the regular price is, you make it free, and they are there for it. So I might do that if I remember to do it for Thursday and Friday. Knock on wood, football's been good to me. I love writing fiction. It balances out the fact that the stuff that I write for PFT today, by tomorrow, nobody cares. It could be the most eloquent thing I've ever written today. By tomorrow, nobody cares. If they even care today, by tomorrow, they don't care. So this is something that's got a little more staying power. You know, the story from Father of Mine, yeah, the book came out 2 years ago. The book's still the same. It hasn't changed. It hasn't evolved. It's still the same. Same story, good story. People will enjoy it. And once the draft has come and gone, it's a perfect time to find a diversion. And that's what it all is. Football's a diversion. Us talking right now is a diversion. All the coverage of football is a diversion from all the stuff that people are dealing with. And people are dealing with a lot of stuff. And I've learned as an adult, I hated reading books as a kid because they made you do it. You know, anything they make you do, we're naturally going to not like as an adult. It's a nice little break. Knowing you've got a book that's a good book, you're enjoying it. Hey, I got an hour tonight where I can go sit down with my book. It's a nice break from all the crap. And we all have, whatever form, whatever shape it is, money, health, family issues, whatever, job, whatever, we all have crap that we want to get away from at the end of the day. For me, getting away from the crap is writing. Hopefully for some folks out there, getting away from their own crap will be the reading.
99 cents, Father of Mine, Son of Mine, On Our Way Home. Mike Florio, always appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.